It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
And welcome into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 1025 1063 The Game. Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Offseason is here for the Nashville Predators. The Cup Final about to take place. Colorado Avalanche have already punched their ticket. We'll see what happens between the Tampa Bay Lightning, the two-time defending Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, and the New York Rangers in an Eastern Conference Final Series, which as of this recording today, New York's up 2-1 on, so game four coming up later tonight. We'll see what happens on that front. But going to be an interesting Cup Final nonetheless, regardless of if it's Tampa Bay or if it's New York coming out of the East. Colorado looks like an absolute buzzsaw right now, and Predators fans are very familiar with that. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then it's off to the offseason. Free agency right around the corner coming up on July 13th, and the Philip Forsberg question still looming out there for the Nashville Predators. He is unsigned as of this moment. Will he be signed by the time free agency comes around for the Nashville Predators? We caught up with Adam Vingan from The Athletic to discuss that and discuss some interesting results in his Preds fan survey that he did at The Athletic as well. We had that conversation earlier today on Robbie and Rex Road. Here's what Adam Vingan from The Athletic had to say. Here we sit today on June the 7th, Adam. Still no resolution to the Philip Forsberg contract situation. We're just a little bit over a month away at this point from free agency beginning in the NHL. How concerned would you be right now if you're a Predators fan that Forsberg still has not signed a contract?
At this point, I guess you can't stop Predators fans from being concerned, but I would personally not be concerned unless or until July 1st. If the rest of this month, if this month ends with Philip Forsberg not under contract and free agency less than two weeks away, I would probably start to feel a bit nervous. Pierre LeBrun had a column on The Athletic today where he touched on some of the pending UFAs, including Philip Forsberg, and he said, quote, "My sense is there remains a gap in which each side is willing to go at the moment, but it's early June and free agency opens July 13th. There's still lots of time before each side truly presents its final stance." And Pierre wrote something interesting. You know, he was talking about J.P. Barry, Forsberg's agent, who is a tough negotiator. And he said, is this gap simply about, I'm quoting him here, is this simply about Barry pushing the Predators as far as possible and then Forsberg definitely taking that deal? Or is there a threshold set by the agent that the player is willing to stick to and that would send them to the market if the team doesn't move enough? And Pierre reports, you know, that his prediction is that Forsberg will resign. That's been my stance all along. I just have a hard time imagining the Predators allowing Forsberg to leave. I think they have so much invested in him as part of this team moving forward, especially because they do not have any appetite for a full-scale rebuild. You know, Joe, I know you asked David Poile about this a couple of weeks ago, about whether the decision about Forsberg will ultimately dictate their path. David said he had plans B, C, D, E, whatever. But for me, I have a hard time looking at this team without Forsberg and thinking that they should go in a completely different direction. So because of this team's desire to remain competitive, I have a hard time imagining at this point that Forsberg will not be in a Predators uniform next season.
So that all adds up. That all makes sense. It's going to be, as the clock ticks, I'm sure it'll be more time. It'll get close. People will get increasingly, worried, I suppose. But what do you think right now? Well, let me ask you this. Let's say he did go and and he was out there. What do you think he would get and from who?
I would think just because other teams can only offer him 7 years, I think that Forsberg on the open market would fetch more than $9 million a season. Evolving Hockey / Robbie Stanley's prediction model.
Thank you.
Has said that if Forsberg leaves, his projected cap hit is around $9.5 million. You know, there are teams out there that are, you know, who are in need of a scorer. A lot of teams are in need of a scorer. But I know that we joke about this, but, you know, look at a team like the Los Angeles Kings, for example. You know, forget the Arvidsson thing, but look at the Los Angeles Kings. They're ahead of schedule. They've got, you know, cup-winning veterans in Andrei Kopitar and Drew Doughty. Dustin Brown just retired. But they have a lot of young, up-and-coming players. You know, I think we were all a bit surprised to see the Kings not only make the playoffs, but to push the Edmonton Oilers to seven games. And they actually had a 3-2 lead in that series. So, you know, the Kings appear ready to compete. You know, and if you're Los Angeles, why not throw money at Philip Forsberg and put him on one of your top two lines? You know, that to me on paper makes a lot of sense. I think if Forsberg were to get to the open market, you know, I think the only forward, at least off the top of my head, that, you know, is probably ahead of Forsberg on the pecking order is Johnny Gaudreau. Evgeny Malkin is out there, of course, but I have a hard time imagining him not re-signing with the Penguins.
Yeah.
But he's older. He's in his mid-30s. So, you know, the one thing that's interesting to me, and this is maybe a conversation about if Forsberg doesn't come back, is that the Predators have never been big spenders in free agency. I looked this up. If you exclude extensions, Matt Duchene's contract that he signed 3 years ago is the largest contract the Predators have ever given to someone in free agency. They do not sign guys that are not their own guys to huge contracts. So I've seen a lot of people say, well, if Forsberg leaves, the Predators should throw a lot of money at Johnny Gaudreau. Well, Johnny Gaudreau is going to make more money than Philip Forsberg. And the Predators have never been a team to spend a lot of money. Now, if they lose Forsberg, they might have to do something drastic. But I just have a hard time imagining them, you know, being big spenders in free agency because they've never been big spenders in free agency. So I think if Forsberg were to get to the open market, I think you're looking at a cap hit of at least nine, if not more.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rextrode. So, Adam, we spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks discussing your Preds fan survey at The Athletic. What were one or two things that really jumped out at you by the results of the survey this time around?
Yeah, there were two things that stood out to me. And I know one is something that you and Willie and Darren and Jared and Caroline spent a lot of time talking about last week. The one that I'm not referring to is the question I asked about ownership. Because last year I asked if the Predators would benefit from a more visible owner who spoke directly to fans, and 60% of respondents said no. This year I asked if the Predators fans wanted to hear directly from ownership about the direction of the franchise. And when I mean directly from ownership, I'm not talking through an intermediary. I'm talking about from Chairman Herb Fritsch. 80% said yes. So it went from 60% no to 80% yes. So I think that speaks to the lack of confidence that Predators fans have in David Poile, which was also evident in the survey. The question that I was referring to earlier was the question about whether Predators fans would be willing to, would support a full-scale rebuild if it meant picking number one in the draft at least once, and more than 60% said yes. And we can talk about that and what that really means because of the lottery system that the NHL has and whatnot. But the fact that more than 60% of respondents said that they would be willing to take the chance of being bad enough to land the number one pick, and keep in mind, as we always discuss, not all number one picks are created equal. The fact that Predators fans, a large majority of them that responded to the survey, are willing to support that or willing to take that chance says something pretty stark to me. I think that, again, signals that the quote-unquote competitive rebuild, you know, whatever that actually is, Predators fans don't see a path forward. I know that we've talked about Willie specifically being optimistic, as is his want, about the fact that the team appears to be on track. I have been on record saying that I do not see a clear plan I do not see a way forward for this team to be competitive anytime soon in terms of actually competing for a Stanley Cup, not making the playoffs. I think the fact that most Predators fans are willing to tear it down should be pretty eye-opening to people over there.
As is his want is a great phrase, by the way.
Thank you.
See, I'm going to argue on Willie's side a little bit because I do think that, like, I think they said they were going to do, I mean, they didn't lay out, like, point by point, but I think what they said matches up with going younger and having this team that on paper most of us, not all of us, but most of us didn't have making the playoffs, right? So, I mean, it was still, there was some overachieving relative to that, but beyond that, I mean, I think they did what they said. I mean, I think both things can be true on this too. There's a plan, but it's just your point is really that you just don't think the plan's going to work, right?
Correct. I do not see where this team is going to get significantly better. Are they younger? Yes, but look at the New York Rangers right now. Look at the players who are making a difference for the New York Rangers right now. Adam Fox, Alexi Lafreniere, Philip Hedl, Keandre Miller. Look at those players. What do they all have in common? They're under 25 years old. And I know that the Predators, the Rangers, had a few lean years, and they got lucky in the draft lottery a couple of times, and it helps that Adam Fox only wanted to play for the Rangers, but they have young difference makers. The Predators do not. That is my point, is that I don't, like, having young players is fine. But it doesn't matter. Like, if their plan is to just get younger, then they're accomplishing that. If their plan is to get younger and better, I don't see where that comes from. Because I don't have faith, with all due respect to the young players on this team, I do not have faith that Tanner Jeannot is going to become the next Philip Forsberg, or that Cody Glass is going to become the next Ryan Johansson. I don't know. I just don't see the young players on this team making a huge difference on the success of this team for the next several years. And until this team gets a young difference maker, a 22, 23, 24-year-old player that looked like a Robert Thomas in St. Louis or a Jason Robertson in Dallas, until they get that kind of player, they're not going anywhere. I'm sorry. So, yes, I think to your point, I see the plan. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's going to work.
Adam, last thing for you here. Is anybody going to slow down Colorado? We're 12-2 in the playoffs. And if you're a Predators fan, does that make you feel any differently about the way that the series played out with Colorado, given what they've done in the aftermath?
You know what? That's always a question that we like to ask ourselves. You know, the Avalanche had their way with the Predators. You know, they got a couple of stiff games from the Blues, but put them away in six games, and then they just swept the Oilers. You know, does it change my perspective? No, it doesn't. I still think the Predators, the gap between the Predators and the upper echelon teams in the league is chasmic, to use the word I used previously. You know, the Avalanche are a buzzsaw right now. I think we all knew that. I kind of agree with you, Robbie. Until I see a team take down the Lightning, I'm going to have a hard time picking against them, but the Avalanche, they look really good. You know, the one thing that was evident in that series was that the Avalanche have depth and the Oilers don't. You know, they had a one-legged Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, and, you know, and Vander Kane had a great postseason until he was suspended, but the lower reaches of their depth are not anywhere near the kind of players that the Avalanche have on their lower line. So, you know, the Avalanche, look, they deserve it. They played incredibly well. Does it change my opinion on whether the Predators maybe aren't as bad as we thought they were? No, I still think they're in a rough spot. But the Avalanche, whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference is going to have a really tough time. It might just be Colorado's time. They might have figured it out, and, you know, they've gone through the struggles, and they're here, so you know, I think they've deserved what they've gotten so far, and I'm really intrigued to see who they'll play in the Stanley Cup final.
Rangers, don't sleep on them.
Just big. Rain.
I would have said that too until the Lightning came back to win the game the other day. You know, the fact it looked like the Rangers were going to be coasting to a 3-0 series lead. But the fact that the Lightning were able to steal that game, you know, don't be surprised if they tie the series in their next game. But the Lightning are battle tested, so I think the Rangers would give the Avalanche a series too. I think the series is going to be great regardless of who the Avalanche's opponent is. But I think the Rangers might have missed their best chance. I think they had it in Game 3. If they don't win this series, they're going to look back at that. So I'm not as I think the Rangers are great, but you know, I think the Lightning are actually in an advantageous position, even though they're down in the series.
Thanks to Adam Vidgen from The Athletic for joining us here on the program. Certainly the Philip Forsberg part of this is interesting, and that has to be the first domino to fall for the Nashville Predators. But what happens beyond that? Let's say the Predators get Philip Forsberg back in the fold, and that's going to be the direction that they move moving forward here. What else needs to happen this offseason for the Predators to get back to a place where they can be competitive, and to Adam's point, they can start to challenge and hang with some of these elite teams in the NHL. We'll get to that coming up next week. Looking ahead to the offseason for the Nashville Predators, lots of interesting decisions and moves for David Poile and the Predators to consider, and why I think there's going to be one that's made that may take some people by surprise. We'll get to that coming up next week as well. Thanks for listening to today's edition of Preds Insiders. We'll be with you every week throughout the offseason leading back up to Nashville Predators play resuming again in the fall as well. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.